That song is so true, isn't it, Andy Breckman?
When they say my name.
When they say how much you love your fans.
No, not necessarily that part.
Oh, really? He's exaggerating a little bit?
I just like to hear, my name in a song. I've listened to the entire catalog of the Eagles. My name's not mentioned once. The Beatles, not once. Creedence Clearwater Revival, only once.
Oh, which song?
Proud Mary. In the back, you have to listen very carefully.
Yeah.
I hear it.
I've never heard it in Proud Mary.
You have to listen very, very carefully.
Yeah. I think maybe
just
you're...
As it's being faded out. I'm pretty sure I hear it.
I think maybe you're imagining it.
Oh, shut up. How's your week going?
It's the best week in 6 weeks.
Yay.
How's your week going, Andy?
The best week in 6 weeks. You mean you couldn't go back 7 weeks and say that? Is that what you're saying?
No, I couldn't. No. 7 weeks ago.
Wasn't the 7 weeks ago? Remember that week 7 weeks ago? That it was like paradise on earth.
Yeah, it was a hell of a week.
Yeah.
Hey, so you had a COVID test today, didn't you?
I did.
Did you pass?
I did. Well, I slipped the lady $20 to get a negative.
No! No, you should not do that.
Well, otherwise you don't know what you're going to get.
Well, you want an honest test. You don't want to pay off the tester.
What's the point of that? You end up getting a positive result, positive test. Then you're limited. Then you're locked up for 2 weeks. You wouldn't pay $20 get out of jail free card.
Well, no, you need to know whether you have it or not. Didn't you get the test in order to protect your daughter and her family? Wasn't that the whole point?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You make a lot of sense. You've given us all a lot to think about.
Well, thanks. So we have a special guest on tonight. It's our associate producer, Jeremiah, on the line. Welcome, Jeremiah.
Oh, well, hello. Welcome.
I can
Jeremiah,
hear
I'm happy to be here.
Jeremiah is a special guest every week, whether he's on the air or not.
And I can hear.
I'm special. All right.
Jeremiah. I can hear your birds in the background.
I'm actually sitting on my front porch. Are the birds really that noisy outside here?
No, it's great. I like it. I like hearing the birds.
Where is your front porch, Jeremiah?
It's attached to the house.
Is it? I know, but in relation to the house, is it? Would you say it's in the front?
Mostly, yes. Yeah. I don't know if it's true.
And where is the house?
Oh, I live in Ulster County, New York. Just far enough away from the city to make the taxes livable.
Right. Well, we appreciate your help every week, even if it's long distance. And then what kind of birds are we listening to? Ken, can you tell just from the sound?
Yeah, there's an eastern goldfinch and a sparrow.
Sounds like a northeastern wobbler.
A wobbler?
Yeah.
Is that like a
red-headed wobbler?
Do you mean do you mean warbler?
Oh yeah, warbler.
A warbler.
Wait, is there really a bird or a warbler?
Jeremiah.
Yeah, it carries an IWW card with it all the time.
Yeah, Andy,
I don't even get that reference.
The Wobblies.
It's my own damn show. I'm being ridiculed and I'm not getting any references.
It was a reference to the Wobblies. You know,
I don't know what that means.
The labor movement? Never mind.
There are lots of birds here. I feed them all year long. It's just constant. And they get very angry if I don't keep the feeder full. And it's getting a little empty right now.
I have a feeder too. And it's really fun. So they know to head to Jeremiah's house every morning.
And they do. And if it's empty, they go across the street to my neighbor and then they come back. Oh, it's pretty funny, actually.
What do you do about the crows?
I don't really get many crows. Once in a while, I get a crow.
And what do you do about the squirrels?
Well, the squirrels stay on the ground, and they haven't been able to get to the bird feeder yet because I hung it from a carefully selected branch with piano wire, so they can't get up and they can't get down.
And bears?
And none yet.
What about ex-girlfriends? Did they come over and bother the birds?
Well, that's a long subject.
You need a pretty high branch to keep the ex-girlfriends away.
I think it's the bird feeder that the ex-girlfriends really want, Andy, not the birds.
Yeah, the bird feeder. They want it back. They want their bird feeders back.
So, Andy, why don't you explain why you have invited Jeremiah on the program tonight?
Why don't you?
Okay.
No one wants to take responsibility for bringing me here.
You're supposed to be my assistant. Assist!
Okay.
Do something.
So it turns out that
earn your damn pay.
It turns out that Andy's refrigerator is on the fritz. As you know, refrigerators are supposed to be cold, but Andy's is hot.
No. You're not. Well, okay, I'll take over. First off, we should explain Jeremiah, when he's not producing our show and doing an excellent job. He has a day job. He is an appliance service repairman. Is that right, Jeremiah?
Yes, it is. Yes. And all sorts of other things as well, but primarily appliances.
Now, have you been making house calls during the pandemic, or has it been just you put everything on pause?
Well, living here in New York in March when we went into lockdown, I basically paused everything for a month. And then after that, I phased it back in and I wear the mask and the gloves in everybody's house. And I've noticed disturbingly in the past few weeks, all of a sudden the other people in the house don't want to wear masks anymore. At first, everybody was really okay with that. And now it's attitudes are changing, it seems.
So you go to the house, you're wearing your mask, but not everybody in the house feels the same way. Are they keeping distance? Do they back away when you walk in? Do they talk to you from the stairwell and around the corner?
Well, usually what happens is they'll back away when I walk in, and then when I walk to the appliance, they'll get closer and closer in order to demonstrate whatever's happening or not happening. And then they'll just sit there and stare at me.
From 6 feet away?
Hopefully.
So, Andy, why don't you... Andy, why don't you...
So it occurred to me, it occurred to Ken and I, that a lot of people probably are having trouble with various appliances and mechanical devices in their home, but they're reluctant to call the serviceman. They don't want people in their house, understandably. So things are just kind of breaking down, and maybe there's a way that with you on the phone, people can call and describe their problem, and maybe they can troubleshoot it. With you on the phone, would that be possible in a lot of cases?
It's possible in some cases. A lot of it depends on, well, certain problems are easy to troubleshoot, and some just.
So you're agreeing. You're agreeing with me completely.
It's going to 100%.
It's going to be great. Now let me describe my problem, and then Ken, I don't know if you're also dealing with the issues, but my problem is my refrigerator is keeping the food cold. The temperature in the refrigerator is still the proper temperature, which is what, by the way, for a refrigerator? 40 degrees?
It really depends on the refrigerator and how often you open the door and how much food you have in there. But, yes, 40. Yeah. 30, it's really 30, 36 to 46, I think, is the range of settings.
It'll just save time. And it'll just save time if you just agree with whatever I say. So 40
yes.
degrees. So the refrigerator is still cold, but get this, Jeremiah, the door, literally the door of the refrigerator, if you feel the edge of the door, it is warm to the touch.
Okay.
And lately the motor of the refrigerator has been straining and grinding on occasion, not constantly, but it's going in phases, and you hear the motor whirring. The refrigerator is 12 years old. It's I don't even know what brand it is. I'm not home.
Well, that's not very helpful.
Hey, Andy, this is a fascinating problem, but the phone is ringing off the hook. Would you like to take a call?
No. I'm talking about my refrigerator.
Okay, fine. We'll.
Wait. Anybody else's problems would not help me. Jeremiah, have you ever encountered those symptoms in a refrigerator?
Well, some refrigerators have something known as a mullion heater, which is a heater on the edge of the door that prevents the door from icing up so that it doesn't ice itself shut. So that may be perfectly normal.
But I can understand that for a freezer, for the freezer side, but the refrigerator side, you never hear about it icing up. Do you?
Not so much, no, but maybe the heat's just transferring from one side to the other. No. Otherwise, there's nothing really in the door on the refrigerator side, is there? Is there anything electronic?
I don't know. I should mention that it's sort of an unusual model. It's nuclear powered.
Oh, well.
There's a very small nuclear reactor in the basement that's powering this unit. It also powers our microwave.
Fission or fusion, Andy?
It's a fission. It's a few. Wait, what did they have in Chernobyl?
Fission.
Fission, yeah. We bought it around. We bought it before Chernobyl, and the whole Chernobyl experience sort of freaked us out.
Yeah.
Do you have to put your food in graphite all the time? Because that could get pretty messy.
We wrap it in plutonium.
All right.
No, don't do that. Put it in carbon, graphite, not plutonium.
Andy, you're supposed to protect your food. Not poison it. Hey, we have a few calls. We had more calls, but most of the people have given up. But we still have a few calls now.
All right, let's give out our phone number. I guess so, Jeremiah. I have to say, I don't know how much help you were just then. Should we?
He was an enormous amount of help. He told you that everything's fine, and you're just imagining this problem. Good gaslighting, Jeremiah.
You mean if the refrigerator is still working? We have nothing to worry. What is the lifespan of a typical refrigerator, Jeremiah?
Well, it depends on how old it is. And that's not the smart answer, actually. I would say nowadays the lifespan of appliances is closer to 5 to 8 years, whereas the very first electrical refrigerators, the GE Monitor Top, were engineered for a service life of 40 years because they were competing against ice, and ice is pretty reliable. So they didn't want them to break down.
Fascinating.
It's planned to obsolescence.
Yeah, so the newer stuff, it doesn't last quite as long as the older stuff did, in short. And the more expensive stuff, I find, tends to fault more quickly than the cheaper stuff.
What brand do you recommend if somebody says, what should we buy?
I would say that's a minefield, really. Not just because I'm on radio, but because I'm familiar with the models that broke down that are a year or more or 10 years or however long they've been in the field. So if that manufacturer goes out and produces something new that I've never seen, but I recommend them based on their older models.
I like the electrical. I like the electrical kind.
That's the most interesting answer. You probably don't encounter the best refrigerators very often because they're not breaking down. You wouldn't know what to recommend. Anything you recommend is the crap you've been encountering and seeing, right?
Sometimes the stuff is new. People are calling me because there's a little dent or a ding, so I'm seeing a lot of different models, and they're not necessarily broken. And yes, there are kerosene-powered refrigerators out there. That's no joke.
Still.
I think there's still one company that makes them. Yes.
Wow.
For people that live off the grid.
Well, how much kerosene do you have? You have to probably refill it every day.
Yeah, it's basically there's a little burner going all the time. Yes. Every few days there's a tank on it.
You ought to buy those people a grid. Get back on that grid. Yeah,
I think it's
very.
I think it's
happy Hanukkah. What did you get me? It's a grid. You're back on. Hey, what's our phone number, Ken?
Andy, the phone number is 201-209-9368, and we do have a lot of people calling. So can we take our first call?
You do whatever you want, son.
Hi. He no longer has any interest.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I've checked out. My job here is done.
It's you. You're on the air. Okay, they've given up. Hi, you're on the air.
I know how they feel.
Hi.
Hi, you're on with Jeremiah. Have you got an appliance problem?
Yes, we've got a refrigerator from 1994. I've replaced the door seal, at least the fridge door seal, and I've cleaned out the line to the evaporator, but I'm still getting water on the inside. And I'm just wondering what else it could be. It could be the evaporator's not working. And I also wanted to find out, if he had any recommendations for another refrigerator to buy in case this one is out, freezer on top, I'd prefer.
This is a real phone call.
Yes.
Wow.
And if you save me real money,
this guy is really asking us for help.
Well, he's in trouble, I have to say.
Yeah. What the hell? What is his problem? Has he never heard the show before?
I think anything can happen.
As the giant truck goes by. So you're getting water in the freezer or in the refrigerator,
the roof of the freezer. The refrigerator underneath the freezer.
There's condensation buildup, like there are little water droplets on the roof?
Yes, little water droplets and then some frost near the vent from the freezer.
Well,
yeah.
If the freezer drain, you cleared out the freezer drain, so it's not like water is really puddling up in the refrigerator. So the drain is working. The evaporator, you're talking about a sealed system issue. So
Sorry to interrupt. My wife just sent me a message, a text message. Andy, let people talk.
That's good advice.
That's a great message.
Okay, so go on. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
X equals negative B plus or minus radical B squared. Oh, wow.
But Jeremiah, don't you think, I think he said his freezer was broken.
No, I didn't say
that. Oh, he didn't say that. Okay.
It sounds like it's basic.
Everything's working fine, except you got little drops. You got little droplets forming.
Yeah, and they fall on things, and that's not good. I changed the refrigerator seal. It didn't seem to make the problem worse, but maybe I was inept in putting in the new seal.
Do the doors look like they're closing pretty tightly and the seal's pretty even around the edges?
Yes.
Well, I don't think there's anything really wrong with the seal then. Has anything else changed in your house? A different heating system, anything? This is happening in the summer or the winter or all year round?
Since I have limited time, I'm sure... I'm just wondering which brand of refrigerator you're seeing
droplets and experiencing this?
Have you taken any psychedelics when you observe the droplets?
No.
Jeremiah, it's okay to tell him.
We can eliminate that theory.
Jeremiah, it's okay if you just tell him he's screwed. It's fine.
I don't know that he's screwed. If the thing is keeping his food cool and cold, I would just let it keep going.
Jeremiah, just say these words, Jeremiah. Get over it.
Andy, not your blessing. A lot of people don't have a long cold time ago. It really did.
But his food's getting all wet. The droplets are falling into his food.
Wait, I'm sorry. Wait, Ken, my wife is sending me another text. Stop interrupting people.
Good advice again.
Okay. Sorry.
Are you getting any frost buildup in the freezer?
A little bit, yes.
More than usual, but not a lot. Just a little bit?
Yeah.
That's what we call freezer frost.
I mean, maybe. Well, if the usually defrost timers fail, they simply fail. It just won't defrost anymore. So, I would be looking at the defrost heater circuit, perhaps. Make sure the defrost heater's good and the timer. It seems like
Thank you very much, Jeremiah.
This was a 1994 Amana. I think they were made by Raytheon. I'm not sure. But is there anybody who makes anything as dependable now or close to it?
That refrigerator has lasted you, 25 years, give or take now? And has it ever been serviced?
No, except for, my attempting to service it.
Yeah, I don't... I don't really think you're going to find anything like that on the market today, unfortunately.
That's a pretty good. That's a pretty good recommendation. That's like a dog that lives 25 years. That's pretty fantastic.
How much do you think is reasonable to spend repairing it then? If I can't find anything as good, $300. I mean,
that's really not. That's if you've never given it a repair before. I tend to say give them one repair. Before you totally give up on something. So yeah, maybe $300. Maybe you can get another, if it's a fan or if it's a defrost timer or a defrost heater, those are relatively inexpensive parts, and that's about what the repair would be. As long as the sealed system is working, there really isn't that much else to the machine. So the other parts aren't too expensive. If there's a sealed system failure, forget it.
Well, maybe the seal is bad in a way I haven't noticed. Thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
Yeah, if you're just
thank
just
you, sir.
In, this is Episode 1 of Refrigerator Talk. This is fantastic. Fridge Talk here with Andy at 10.
Andy, do you
our
have...
special guest...
Fine, the next customer is today... just screwed, whoever they are.
Our special guest today is Jeremiah. You're listening to Fridge Talk. It's our pilot episode. We hope every episode... I don't know how long we could sustain this kind of excitement.
Yeah, this sucks. We were supposed to talk about boilers. You told me it was going to be boiler talk.
Toaster ovens, at least.
All right, well, let's take our next call.
Wait, Ken.
Okay.
Ken, before we take our next call.
Okay, we'll hold off.
Hold on. Do we have anything else going today?
What do you mean, do we have anything else going?
Any other?
Anything at all.
What if it's eight calls like that? How do we keep people from driving off the highway?
Well, you know, you were supposed to...
They're going over overpasses.
You were supposed to get a COVID test. You were supposed to get a COVID test right now. That was the whole idea.
I was supposed to do it live. I couldn't arrange to do it live. I know.
Yeah.
You know, Andy, there's been a lot in the news lately about how hard it is to get a COVID test and how difficult they are to schedule.
Well, that's true. I had to actually drive 30 minutes to get one. I promised my daughter I'd get one.
Where did you go to get it?
Really, Ken? That's of interest to you?
Yeah.
Yes.
It is of interest.
Well, I guess if it's either this or refrigerator sealing problems, we'll talk about this.
It was the defrost heater circuit, Andy. That's where the problem was, the defrost heater circuit.
Maybe, or his house might just be really humid.
I can almost hear our listener saying this. Honey, do we have any broken glass in the house I could chew on?
Well, Andy, would you like to take another call?
No.
Hi, you're on the air.
Can you give me another option?
Oh, hey, Ken. Hey, Andy. How are you guys doing?
Good. Great. Who are you?
This is Keith from Over and Wade. I'm so glad I got through.
Oh, Keith, we're so happy you got through too, because the last guy, you don't even want to know. Anyway,
Keith, what appliance are you concerned with? We have Jeremiah, our handy repairman, our in-house
Jeremiah.
Repairman.
I'm so glad I got to catch you guys, because we got an oven that broke. I thought I fixed it, but it's still broken. It's an electric
what
oven,
happened?
And it does not heat past 170 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's not very warm.
It truly is. It can't even make chicken.
Yeah.
Wait, do you mean it can't turn off, or it can't get warmer than that, or that's the hottest it gets?
The hottest it gets is 170.
What's the coldest it gets?
Yeah, what is the... What's the coldest it gets?
Would you say your morning show today, Ken, is the hottest you ever get?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Congratulations. I long for the refrigerator call we had 10 minutes ago.
All right. Is it an electric oven or a gas oven?
It is an electric oven.
What brand is it?
It's a Whirlpool.
And you say you fixed it once before?
Yeah, I went online and I took some stuff apart, and then there was some fan that stopped moving, so I had to WD-40 the fan, but I guess that didn't work.
Have you tried just being happy with soup, with warm soup, just making do with a soup diet?
Plus, he can proof lots of bread at 170 degrees, I think.
You can toast bread.
That's probably
you can toast it.
I
can proof it.
I think the only soup we can do is gazpacho at that temperature.
You mean you just get lukewarm gazpacho?
All right. Well, your electric oven is pretty simple. There are two heating elements.
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt. Jeremiah, I'm sorry to interrupt. Ah! I'm sorry, go ahead.
That was your idea, Andy. You called me.
Yeah, Andy, this whole show was your idea.
But I didn't project ahead. I didn't think about it.
Oh, you didn't imagine what it would be like.
When I said people will call in with appliance problems, I didn't expect people to call in with appliance problems.
What did you expect? What did you think was going to happen?
I don't know.
Andy, everybody has five appliances these days. That's like over a billion appliances.
Wait, is that the average number?
Well, how many do you have in your house?
I guess five seems low, but maybe we're low.
I would say at least five.
Oh, Andy has...
Two generations ago, guys were in the kitchen with screwdrivers and pliers fixing these things, weren't they?
No.
Father fix all these appliances when they broke, when the toaster broke?
Can't remember my dad ever fixing a toaster, no. And he was a real fix-it guy.
Your dad used to come to our house and fix everything.
I did. I repaired a friend's parents' dishwasher, though. I will say that when I was a kid.
Hold on. Yeah. Wait, start at the beginning.
Yeah.
You have a friend.
Right.
In his house, he had a dishwasher.
Yes.
I can't get my head around this. No one would believe this. You couldn't make this stuff up. Okay. His dishwasher broke.
Right.
He decides to call in Ken Friedman.
Yeah.
Da-da-da. Oh, that was a crashing silence. So did the phone break?
Andy, are you still there?
Oh, God. Go ahead. Oh, what's the rest of the story?
What happened? Did you get a text? What happened? You just dropped off the map. By the way, we still have somebody with a broken... There's
you fixed your friend's dishwasher.
Well, there's a listener with a broken electric oven on the line. It's Keith. Keith, are you still with us?
Hey, I'm still here.
Keith, you know what the problem is? I'm going to just tell you. I'm going to cut to the chase. It's not an oven you have. It's a refrigerator. Okay, next call. Hi, you're on the air.
I wanted to answer his question.
Okay, never mind. Sorry. Go ahead and answer his question, Jeremiah.
So I had a serious problem.
What's your name?
My name's Rob.
Rob, hang on, because Jeremiah wants to address Keith's question first. Hang on, Rob. Jeremiah, go ahead.
Well, Keith's probably not listening anymore.
Oh, he's listening. Oh, Keith is listening. Trust me.
He's listening. He's listening and cursing at Ken at the same time.
Keith's problem is that the elements in his oven need to get 240 volts, and he's probably only getting 120 volts.
Oh!
Because his control board is bad.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's the mistake.
Sounds like a control board problem.
So the control board bumps it up from 120 volts to 240?
No, the control board switches both sides of the line. Each side gets its own relay, so probably one relay is working and the other side isn't. So it allows a little bit of current to pass, and it'll get a little bit warm, but that's about it.
Okay, Keith, there's your answer. Rob, what's your problem?
Okay, I've got a little Bushnell clock.
Bushnell clock, Jeremiah.
It's an ambient clock. I don't know if the name of the clock is the ambient or if it's an ambient clock. You know, it's a weather clock. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, somewhat. It's
like
a weather clock.
There, it has a location finder so I can change cities.
Yeah, it's one of those GPS clocks or, you know, connects to the cloud or whatever.
It's like a little weather station.
Yeah.
On the back, it has a little sticker that says Weather FX5. And it gets it. I'm just now learning this. It gets its live data from AccuWeather. So maybe it's an internet problem. It won't display any weather conditions. I can still go from city to city
but no weather conditions.
Is it connecting via Wi-Fi or via like a 4G, 5G network?
That I don't know.
Did you, when you got the, has it ever worked?
It has worked. And so the story of how I got it is it belonged to my father and he loved it. And when he passed, it was one of the few things that I thought I wanted to keep around. So it and it's been working for about, you know, I'm sure he had it for 10 years. I've probably had it for 4 years now. And it worked until last year. And it just quit. It's flashing a signal, though, that says, try another location, network not found. Do I need to just move it around in my house, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
maybe,
not, it's...
unless, but he's saying it's something that's 10 or 15 years old. I wonder if there's some sort of encoded signal it gets, maybe from the Weather Bureau, that it's not getting because the tower's not working. Like, it doesn't sound like if it was his father's, it would be something that somebody would hook up to the internet. That's just my guess.
Well, that's a good point. No, my father would have never been able to.
Maybe your father is trying to communicate with you through the clock, and his attempts are blocking the weather info from reaching the clock.
That's interesting. I wonder what he's trying to tell me.
It's going to be partly cloudy all the time.
I think Andy's gone to sleep.
That's okay.
Yeah, you're telling me.
You know that I've been listening to the show since it originated.
Really? Since 1990?
Yeah, when Chris, I believe, was the one of the original hosts was Chris? G? Maybe?
Chris T did Aerial View, which was on at the same time, but on Fridays.
But not the same program.
No, not the same program.
So I'm confused.
Yeah, that's okay, Rob. That's okay. Good luck.
Talking to you guys.
Good luck.
I want to tell you, like, during the course of being locked down here, and I'm in Hot Springs, Arkansas,
Whoa.
It really made a big difference to be able to tune in and listen to you guys every week.
Wow, Hot Springs, Arkansas. You guys, your coronavirus is going through the roof there. That's one of the cluster hotspots, isn't it?
It's crazy here.
Yeah.
Well, we're a vacation town, so.
Right. You
since
have all
Memorial
those...
Day, we've been flooded with people from Texas and Louisiana, Missouri, Tennessee.
Wow.
They come here for our wax museum.
I've seen that wax museum. It's amazing. That's the greatest wax museum I've ever seen.
Well, there's
so
a
do you have like real
actually
hot
right
mineral
after
springs
your show
there?
Tonight, I'm tuning into the local Garland County Library is having a book talk with the author David Hill. He just wrote a great book about Hot Springs.
Oh, yeah. Hot Springs is cool. I loved it. I spent about 4 days there. All right, Rob, we're moving on.
Thank you. You guys take care.
Thank you, Rob. Andy, are you still with us? Let me call Andy.
Relief. There are a few Weather Service towers out of service. I'm guessing he's not getting some kind of encoded weather, or maybe it was like a subcarrier FM thing like
Newsmax. Wait, can give me one more second. I'll be right back.
Jesus Christ.
He's going to look at his refrigerator.
Okay. Jeremiah, are we ready for another call?
Sure. I don't know if our listeners are, but I am.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Sam the Appraiser.
Okay. Hey, guys. Hey, you're on the air.
It's Sam the Appraiser, Andy.
Hi, it's Andy Bruckman.
Oh, fantastic. How'd that last call go, Ken? It sounded like you had it well in hand.
It was great. He was from Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, yep. Good for him.
Yeah. And now we have Sam the Appraiser on the line.
Fantastic.
First of all,
people are calling 201-209-9368 to ask our producer / appliance repairman, Jeremiah, for some help.
Why are you suddenly
guidance,
Andy? Why are you suddenly trying? What do you feel guilty about?
You mean what's my angle?
Yeah, you just took a work call. Is that and now you feel guilty?
You mean what's in it for me?
No, I think you just.
No, I took a moment. I took a little sabbatical, a few minutes, and to reappraise my radio career.
Uh huh.
And I feel like maybe it was underappreciated. I didn't really appreciate what I had. And my relationship with you and Jeremiah is very, very important to me.
I see. Okay.
And the show is very important to me.
Right. Okay.
I won't let you guys down again.
I think his refrigerator is on fire in the background.
I want to thank you guys for having the courage not to apologize for last week's show, first of all.
Thank you.
So, thank you for that.
I apologize, yeah. And I do. Anyone offended by me not apologizing, I have to apologize to them.
I'm going to put up a statue of you, Andy, and then take it down.
Nothing will be more satisfying to you. You should do that every day at 6 p.m. at sunset.
Yeah, Andy, we missed the opportunity. And we also we missed the opportunity to put up the Colossus station manager Ken Bobblehead on the banks of the Hudson River. Remember that plan?
Was that pre-pandemic? Or
yes. No, it was post-pandemic, I think.
What was the reaction to last week's show, Ken?
Lots of hate, lots of love.
Welcome to my world. Yeah. Exactly what we were shooting for, isn't
yes,
it?
That is what we were shooting
reaction
for.
We were hoping for.
Yep. Well, at least we got there before Trump did. Trump took our whole shtick and ran with it all weekend long.
He was touting various statues?
Yeah, he was complaining about all the statues coming down.
Well, so, we were celebrating them.
Right. Yes, we were. Well, anyway, Sam the Appraiser, do you have a problem appliance in your life?
Yeah, you guys are way ahead of the curve. But, yeah, I have an air conditioner thing that's not a window air conditioner.
If it's Trump goes on the air next week and starts talking about toaster ovens and refrigerators, I'm going to get very, very suspicious. Wouldn't that be amazing if he really is, like, monitoring our show? And...
Yeah, don't get your hopes up.
If that happens, Andy, please, whatever you guys do, don't talk about anything about Dr. Strangelove. Please. Don't give him any ideas.
All right. So, Sam, you have a split. You have an air conditioning split system. Is that the idea?
No, it's an air conditioner on wheels.
Oh, you have one of those portable jobs. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like R2-D2.
Yeah, I have one of those.
And it's great because you don't have to, like, install it in the window and stuff. But
yeah.
It tends to drip water all over the floor, and I can't get it to stop doing that.
Well, wait, I can take this one. Jeremiah, let me take this one. The newer,
go ahead.
We have a place in New York. They do not allow window air conditioners, so that is so we've had a few of them. We've had three of them. And the first one did drip. There was nothing I could do. I actually tried to install a pump that would kick on when water collected. It wasn't worth the trouble, believe me. But the new ones, they have some kind of the condensation is somehow heated and evaporates. How does it work, Jeremiah? It doesn't drip. There's no problem. It could run all day. They're little miracles. You might have to invest in a newer model, but they're worth it.
He wants to fix the one he has, Andy.
I suggest getting a TV show, selling a TV show, and then taking the profits from that TV show and buying a newer model.
Maybe I'll just buy a new one. I mean, actually, I'm just so happy that Andy's into the show now. This is amazing.
Well, let me try to take this one, Andy and Jeremiah. Sam, if you open up the bottom part of your little portable air conditioner, can you see where the condensation water is coming from?
I can't open it up. It's all screwed together.
Oh, can you unscrew it? Can you break it?
No, I don't.
Smash it?
Maybe.
Can you smash it or melt it or something? Open it up?
Oh, Ken, you should hear yourself sometimes.
You have to find where you have to find where the water is dripping from, and then stick a hook.
Then I'll have to buy a new one anyway. At that point, so
it's not worth it. The new ones are $200, maybe a little north of that. But they are they're miraculous. You never need servicing.
Sleight of hand.
So you're saying you're going to buy me one, Andy? Is that what you're saying? I really appreciate that.
No, you must be having bad reception. No, I didn't even come close.
Oh, no, I do appreciate that. You're really a good guy.
I didn't think that.
You're a hero of mine.
Well, maybe if I do buy one, would you stop tearing down my statues?
yeah, I would. Definitely.
Yeah. Hey, how come you're not tearing down that new Andy Breakfast statue? He bought me an air conditioner.
Andy, they're all down. There's no more Andy Breckman statues to tear down.
After last week's show?
Yeah, they've all been removed.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Why did you sell everyone ropes and cables? Why did you open up a little rope and cable booth next to every statue.
They're known as.
I saw a pile of cars in a junkyard that looked a little bit like Andy.
I'm sure.
Tear it down, Sam the Appraiser. Jeremiah, do you have any hints since Andy and I have both struck out?
Well, you're basically right, Ken, in the sense that he needs to see there's probably something clogged, and he'd have to be able to unscrew it in order to look at it. And if he's not capable of doing that, unfortunately, Sam, I guess if you could try adult diapers, maybe you put some Depends on it or something. But other than that, maybe there's somebody in your bill. Is there somebody like handy that you know that could turn a couple of screws?
Wait, you mean I should just wear adult diapers because I'm such a wimp? Is that what you mean?
I meant on the air conditioner.
I'm just kidding.
No.
I hadn't thought of that. Maybe I'll try taking it apart. Maybe I'll plug it first.
Yeah, take it apart. Take it apart because there's got to be.
Hey. Hey, Jeremiah and Sam, you guys are this close to getting your own show on WFMU.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew? No, the rhythm and the banter. I thought we could learn a lot from you guys.
Well, I'd like to say we have our next call, but we don't. We have no calls. We've driven everybody away.
Well, we've already fixed refrigerators. We've fixed air conditioners.
But the phone number.
Jeremiah.
Yes.
Do you work for are you independent or do you work for a company that dispatches you?
Well, I did work for a large company and then I went out on my own now, but I do some subcontracting work. When those companies have overflow, they give me calls.
Was it Maytag? So. Was the company you refused to mention Maytag?
Well, it did actually, by a series of mergers, absorb Maytag, yes.
Oh.
Those were great ads, the Maytag repairman.
Yeah.
Being bored and desperate for work.
Yeah, the lonely repairman. That's why I'm here, you know.
Sam the Appraiser had a question.
Is it still even possible to buy appliances that aren't made of stainless steel and all shiny?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Oh, okay, because that's all I see anywhere, and I don't like that style.
But they're not made of stainless steel. They're probably made of plastic.
But they all have that shiny metal look to them.
So buy a
like
can
all
of...
All the refrigerators now look like that.
Buy a can of spray paint.
Yeah.
Our toaster oven is styrofoam. I mean, it doesn't work as well as it should.
Is that a single-use toaster oven?
It is, yet disposable.
Well, then. That must be pretty inconvenient.
Single-use toaster oven. Hey, Jeremiah, can you help me? It's not exactly an appliance. My wife, she's my wife of 18 years, she's getting very sassy. She seems to be talking back a lot. Seems to
Andy,
be sticking up for herself.
Andy, your wife is not an appliance, Andy.
She might be retaining water.
Andy, your wife is a human being.
I'm not saying anything about...
Is there some kind of dial or something that just to turn down the sassiness? Just an attitude adjustment.
Andy, it's called a lobotomy.
Andy, Jeremiah is not a therapist. He's an appliance repair person.
Someday, assassin stat. Someday, Jeremiah, you're going to be called in to fix somebody's sex doll. Aren't you dreading that moment?
Actually, yes. And people have found interesting things in dishwashers before. So, yeah, these things happen.
I can only imagine. Wait, have you found stuff in dishwashers when you're making a home visit?
I found teeth. And the best part was nobody knew whose teeth they were.
Well, nobody would admit to it.
Well, when I fished them out of the pump and held them up to the customer, I said, "Hey, this is what was clogging it." And she said, "Did anybody lose some teeth?" No. I couldn't believe it.
I would have taken it home and put it under my pillow at night. How many teeth was it? It's like $2 a piece you get nowadays.
$2 per tooth?
Well, how much does your tooth fairy give?
$3 per tooth?
Well, Hoboken.
Yeah.
That guy's crazy.
No, I know. No, he's out of control. It's true.
My guy leaves a lot of teeth in dishwashers.
Hey, we have another call. Sam the appraiser, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're not, yeah, great to hear from you. 201-209-9368.
Hi, you're on the air.
Wait, let me just
recap. If you don't mind me again, I've gotten an Amana washer, clothes washer.
And what's your name?
Also from 1995 or so. Definitely made by Raytheon. It was leaking, so I replaced the bell seal, and that mostly fixed it. But still, it occasionally leaks with a very small load. When it's, you know, really full, it never leaks, and that seems really strange to me. And I was wondering if Jeremiah might not know why that could happen.
This is a case for Jeremiah. Jeremiah, show him your stuff.
Well, Ken, this is it. This is the low point. A lot of shows, they never know when they hit the low point.
Andy, he replaced the bell seal.
Yeah.
And it still didn't work. Jeremiah, go ahead. Work your magic.
Honestly, I have no idea.
You know.
Oh, come on. Don't be coy, Jeremiah. Come on.
I don't know. Leaks on a small... I'd have to really think about that one. He can email me or something.
Okay, what's your email address?
Let's continue this off the
What's your email address, Jeremiah?
Yeah, the party should not stop at 7 o'clock.
I don't know. Do I want to give out my email address on the air or figure out some forwarding?
Okay, well, people
mail Ken.
Yeah, people can email me, ken@wfmu.org, and I'll forward it to Jeremiah.
And Ken will forward any appliance.
Okay, thank you, Bellseal.
Any appliance questions to Jeremiah?
Oh, the switchboard is like a Christmas tree again. Hi, you're on the air.
No, it's not.
Hi, Ken, Andy, and Jeremiah.
Hi, who's this?
This is Chris in Manhattan.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, I have an oven that has been a problem for many years.
They're really calling. They really call.
Yeah.
It's real appliance.
Okay, hang on. An oven is, that's the thing that is supposed to get warm, right? He's gone.
My God. They're really calling with appliances.
He's gone. Okay,
you scared him away, Andy.
We
it's
lost
had a
him.
Problem for years.
Yeah, Andy.
It didn't even occur to me that people would call with appliances.
What did you think was going to happen this hour?
I don't know. I didn't really think it through. I'll never make this mistake again.
Hi, you're on the air.
I'll never
Hi.
Come up with a topic
I
that
have
might
a
actually
problem.
Work again.
A problem with what?
My stove and my oven, they can't be on at the same time.
Ah, this is a case for Jeremiah.
Oh, you know what I would do? I would use one or the other.
Yeah, but like, what if you need to like have something roasting and then also have something frying?
Ah, what if you need them to work concurrently?
Yeah.
How often does that really happen?
Yeah.
It's like using all four burners at once. Is it electric or gas?
Gas.
And what happens when you turn the oven on and the stove's on? What happens exactly?
It's pretty much the stovetop just doesn't get hot. It's not even if I use all four. It's just like if you use one and the oven, the stovetop doesn't get hot, and then the oven also just doesn't get hot.
Low gas pressure.
Yes, he's right.
Low gas pressure.
Or an obstruction in the line. Do you have natural gas or propane?
I'm pretty sure natural.
You're going to have the gas utility come and pay you a visit and improve your gas pressure.
Probably the line's kinked behind the stove.
Yeah, there's something kinked behind the stove. I would, if you want to save a little money, I would just pray on it.
Pray?
Okay.
Pray, okay.
Yeah.
He's already saving a lot of money on gas.
Can you give us a sample gas line prayer, Andy?
Sure, I'll work on that, Ken.
Come on, dear Lord, go ahead.
Dear Lord, may the kink in my gas line be fixed, and may the kinks in my neighbor's gas line continue to plague them.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's a good one. Amen. All right, thank you, Chris. Hope we helped. We're on with
you. Hope we helped.
You know, Andy, I could tell you about the washing machine repair that caused a divorce.
I'd like to hear that story. First, I'd like to hear Ken finish his dishwasher story, and then I'd like to hear about the washing machine that caused the divorce. I'm going to hit mute. You're not going to hear me responding, but I'm listening very intently. Go ahead.
Well,
tell me those stories.
We have calls, Andy, so why don't we go to the phones? Hi, you're on the air.
Is FMU?
Yes, it is. What's your name?
Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
I have a problem with my stove.
Ah, I have just the man to help you. Jeremiah's on the line with us. Tell us
That's
about your stove.
So, you know,
Tell us about your stove problem.
What did I just wait?
No, go ahead. Shoot.
What's my problem? Oh, yeah. The electronic ignition for the burners doesn't work. It just clicks, but the spark doesn't come. So I have to use a match to light
the flames. It might be, but it might be broken.
I don't know. It's broken. There's something wrong with it.
Yeah, there's not enough.
I see. Oh, okay. Oh, then you're ahead of me. I can't do much more than that.
Can you see it spark when it clicks? Do you see the spark?
No, I don't see the spark. I just hear the click.
Jeremiah.
It clicks. I think there's maybe a short problem or something. I don't know. It's like.
Well, generally, all the burners will spark at once on most stoves. Do any of them spark or none of them spark?
One of them used to spark, and then I took the wires apart, and I cleaned them a little bit, like I cleaned the contacts, and then they started to spark, but now none of them spark.
That sounds like the high-voltage wires are grounding out somewhere. They're either pinched or it might be rodent damage or maybe they're soaked through with grease.
High-voltage wires.
Rodent damage.
I would just resign myself to it. You can't beat the rodents.
Oh, okay. So maybe I can get that fixed. I can have somebody fix that, I guess, right?
The rodents have won, sir. The rodents have won. It's over. Just resign yourself to life without the stove.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll just keep using the spark thing. Anyway, that's cool. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah. Sure. Glad we could help. That's why we're here, right, Ken?
Yes. To badmouth rodents. Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, hi, I really like to talk to Ken about boilers.
Okay.
So I have I'm trying to decide if I should repipe my steam boiler. Right now it's copper, and you're supposed to use black iron.
Well, there are some decisions a young man has to make for himself, and that's one of them, whether to repipe your boiler.
So you have copper pipes right now?
Copper pipes and the steam coming from the heather. The whole thing. And I think it's probably losing a little bit of steam through joints. It's a pretty old boiler. Pretty old.
Who are these people? Ken, who are they?
Andy, they're
calling.
They're appliance owners. Everybody.
They sound like so responsible. They
everybody
sound like,
owns appliances, Andy. You wanted to do it.
I thought our listeners just lived in their squatters and lived in hovels and were just burning kerosene lamps, and just didn't even occur to me that they were homeowners and adults.
That's what you really thought. You really thought that we...
I mean, we have adults calling. Who would have thunk?
Yes, who own real appliances.
It took 30 years for the adults to call.
Yeah, well, I have been listening since the mid-90s, so...
Okay, so you're trying to decide whether to replace your copper pipes or what? What's your alternative?
Yeah, well, it's basically to leave the system as is. It does work. There's a little bit of Warhammer. Or should I take it
this guy and Jeremiah, who else listening cares? That's the flaw of the show. This is radioactive. This is just poison. This is repelling people.
Well, at least we finally got to boilers, so the show has a happy ending.
But who, like, imagine someone driving, it's rush hour, they're driving home, who cares?
Oh, I know, it took us 55 minutes to finally get to a boiler.
Ken, you talk about boilers, you mention boilers all the time.
Tell
in your
me about
show,
it.
And you never actually elaborate, you never talk about them. It's frustrating.
It's because I have been shamed. The people have erased me.
I have one listener who wants to talk about boilers.
I try to talk about boilers, and they just laugh at me. They look down on me.
We wish they would laugh, Ken. We sometimes just stop and listen. No one's laughing. Great. That 7 o'clock, that's the 7 o'clock truck that just went by?
Yeah, was that the 7 o'clock truck, Jeremiah?
It's missing a wheel, so it might be.
Jeremiah, you have been so great. You've been you've been great as a producer and great as a guest.
Well, if I can answer this boiler question, I would say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Okay, and we're moving on to the last call of the show. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Andy asked a question about who cares.
Yeah.
Like all the women who listen to the men talking about fixing things get really excited.
There you go, Andy. It's a turn on. Can you elaborate? Can you elaborate? Explain to Andy how this works?
No, by all that's holy, thank you for calling. We love you, but please don't elaborate.
Why not?
Please don't tell us how hot you're getting.
Don't you want to hear?
What was the most exciting call?
Oh,
for you, a woman.
I think it the boiler.
Oh, absolutely. I know. Isn't it outrageous that it took...
That's what I'm waiting for.
Actually, I really appreciate all the input. Like, it's great when guys fix things. You know, the song Handyman. Yeah.
We sure know how to make them chicks hot, don't
we,
Ken?
Hey, Andy, don't you like, James Taylor's Handyman?
Yeah, Andy, James Taylor's Handyman.
Yeah, that's right. We're the handyman. You've been listening to the handyman.
Andy, will you stop?
You're on WFMU.
Exactly.
Stop
it's
fixing
better than
your
the
microphone.
Anima men.
This is a new experience for me. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Well, thank you, Jeremiah. Thank you, caller. No thanks to you, Andy. You have to think these things through better.
Yeah, I had no idea this would be a successful show. You didn't warn me that was a possibility.
And now, Andy, you need to apologize to Jeremiah.
I'll apologize to everyone. I spend an hour on the air and then the next 3 hours apologizing.
Let's hear you begin apologizing.
I noticed you did.
I apologize, Jeremiah. I know I was rude. I know I was disrespectful. And you know, the irony is, as soon as this pandemic's over, we're going to get you or someone like you in the house. We have three or four things we need to fix. Lord knows I can't do it.
You're at our mercy.
I'm not man enough.
The mercy.
Yeah, I am.
Of our ilk. Oh, well.
we have to call in a man to fix it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeremiah. Thanks a lot, Andy.
Thanks, buddy.
Talk to you
next
week.
Wait, we know what we're doing next week.
Oh, yeah. What are we doing next week? Oh, yeah. Coronavirus encounters that you regret.
Yeah, when you let your guard down. Like I had an experience last week that caused me to get this COVID test today.
Yeah, what was it?
Oh, boy.
A policeman pulled you over?
I was pulled over on in Ohio on the turnpike, and he approached the car. I gave him my driver's license, registration. We had an exchange. And then and only then did I realize he wasn't wearing a mask.
In Ohio?
Yeah, on the turnpike, yeah.
You were traveling out of state?
I was picking up my kids. I love my kids. I miss my kids.
Okay, we have to run. We're going into Matt Five Ashes time. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned for Weekly World Blues with Matt Fiveash and never adopt a dingo.
Sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A.
The blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.
When we were playing for those society people, we made a blues called Effervescent. It was a rock blues with a ragtime sound. Billy Kyle would laugh and say it was really effervescent, like that champagne stuff. You had fun, and then you just faded on away.
Thank you.